Welcome to the Friends with Money podcast, brought to you by Money Magazine, creating financial freedom for Australians since 1999.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Friends with Money podcast. My name is Michelle Baltazar. I'm the editor-in-chief here at Money Magazine. Thank you for joining us. Today's episode is the final part of our three-part series on how to get your life admin sorted in 2023. So in our first episode, we talked about why it's important to get your life admin sorted. And then in our part two, we talked about how to streamline your household to save time and money. So I feel like we've done the warm-up now for the exercise, which is really getting your affairs in order. And I'm talking about tax, super, wills, and your health record. And to help us go through all of that is one of my favorite guests here at Friends with Money, Mia Northrop, co-author of Life Admin Hacks. Mia, welcome to Friends with Money.
Great to be with you again, Michelle.
Yes. So I think I'm really excited about this. And I feel like we'll be able to tackle some of the kind of the big life admin burden, if you like, that you can't solve over a weekend, maybe. But if you do them, it's just the mental load is just kind of relieved, right?
That's it. Yeah, that's it. So these topics, when you get these areas under control, they deliver so much peace of mind. Because you're right, they're not areas that you can set and forget. They never go away. You need to engage with them throughout the year, throughout your life. So being able to take a methodical approach and have a great setup to tackle these topics is going to serve you for a long time.
Yes. Now, let's talk about taxes, because this is something that, you know, we know that end of financial year, we need to look at our taxes. At the same time, the government keeps changing some of the rules around personal income and tax levels and all of that. So my question to you is, how can we set ourselves up to do our taxes most efficiently?
Yeah, great question. So there feels like there's two camps out there. There are people who are really on top of this, and then there are people like me who really struggled to just, I don't know, I just resented doing it every year. So it took me a long time to get my act together and actually think about how can I make this as painless as possible. It's heartening to know that about 84% of Australians do lodge their taxes on time. So I think I very much fall into the minority there. But there were a few things that made a massive difference. One was setting up a tax folder in my cloud storage. So I use Google Drive. You might use OneDrive or Dropbox, or there's a bunch of cloud storage solutions out there. But setting up a folder with a particular folder structure helped me actually just put the emails, the documents, the receipts, the statements into this folder as soon as they came my way, so that at the end of financial year, when it was time for me to prepare my tax, I had a place to go to find everything. And in our book, Life Admin Hacks, we actually recommend a folder structure because we know the range of documents you need to submit your tax return. You should have subfolders for your ATO communication, in your income, whether it's income statements, government payments, payment summaries, income from, you know, the sharing economy, if you're doing Uber drives or renting your place on Airbnb. You need a folder for your deductions. So these might be receipts from your rental or investment properties, any work-related travel expenses or other expenses, home office receipts, that kind of thing. You need a folder for your private health insurance statements and a folder for tax advice. And we know now that the ATO pre-fills so much information when you go to lodge your tax return. So there's been amazing digital transformation there where they can pull in some of your private health and your bank and your paying, you pay information. But having this cloud storage area set up is really reassuring. And if you're using a tax agent or an accountant, you can actually either download all the documents into a little zip folder or share a link to that actual folder so they can access the documents to prepare your return for you.
I can imagine myself now going onto my Google Drive and creating these subfolders. But I'm like you. I am part of the 16% of the population that felt like, why can't they just give me my tax refund and be done with it, right? Because they know everything about me. But it's that what you said about resenting or kind of really don't want to do it. What made you change? What was the, was there a specific trigger?
Yeah, there was. It was a big reframe, actually, because I realized, so most Australians do get money back. I think the average is around $2,500. And if I actually thought about it, it probably spent an hour over the course of the year just dragging things into a folder and finding the receipts. And I also use the ATO app, actually. That's also a great app for tracking your deductions. So maybe an hour across the year of doing that. And then when it actually came to tax time, it never took me more than really an hour to get everything together, you know, find my various donation receipts, whatever it might be, and then send that to the accountant. And then I realized, okay, if that's 2 hours work and I'm getting back on average $2,500, that's a pretty good hourly rate.
Yes.
You know? That's a very generous hourly rate. So get over yourself, Mia, and just do it. And that helped. But also when I got the refund, often that would just sort of be electronically transferred into my mortgage account and it'd be a drop in the ocean. And I never really felt it. And so now I also kind of reward myself for doing my tax by, if I know I'm going to get a refund, by treating myself in some little way. Often I'll go out with my ex-partner, because we still do our tax together, and we'll just go and have like a nice meal and have a nice glass of wine and celebrate, you know, whatever, and spend, I guess, splurge a little on some of that refund, knowing the rest of it is going off to probably better ways of using that money. So those two things, the reframe and actually giving myself a little reward for getting it done. So how about you? What's going to help you?
I like it. Well, for me, definitely, it was so liberating to just have it all in order. Certainly, in my early 20s, it was all about looking at my HECS debt. Is that getting sorted out? And then later on with your investment property, looking at the deductions and all of that. And I agree that it's really about reframing. My gripe about the digital economy and just digital transactions is that you really don't feel the cash because it never lands in your wallet. Like the physicality of, imagine if someone knocks at your door and says, hey, Mia, here's $2,500 in $50 notes. You'd be like, wow. But we never have that tangible kind of visual of this money. So that's why people don't really look at even tax deductions. I don't think enough people look at what are the things that they could, you know, that are deductible. So a little tip, I am a big fan of the ATO app. They even have great tips there. They have reminders and even benefits and concessions. So they've come a long way from this invisible person, you know, a decade ago to now just being there interacting with us.
Yeah, I'm impressed actually about the level of transformation that this whole process has gone through. They are trying to make it as painless as possible, as seamless as possible. The other thing that's reassuring is knowing that the majority of Australians do use a tax agent to lodge their tax. So if this is something that you do struggle with, then yeah, reach out, ask friends and family, get a referral to someone. And know that their fees are tax deductible as well. So it almost feels like it's free, but they're going to help you prepare and lodge your return and take away some of that burden of really being scrutinizing what you're eligible to claim for, making sure that the paperwork is in order, and offering that flexibility to extend the lodging date as well if you need a bit of time to get yourself together.
Yes, we love that extension on the lodging date. But going back to your point, I do believe that time is money. And if you want to go next level with your taxes, is that you can do your prepayments so that you're kind of putting forward all the tax benefits practically a year ahead. And again, I'm just conscious that nobody really knows where the economy is heading. Are we going to be more cautious? And just hundreds of dollars here and there, they do add up.
it's great to have some advice come in if that is something that works for you and you can sprinkle out the payments through the year. That is a beautiful way to go.
Yes. It still pains me whenever I have to pay the council the rates a year ahead just to get the, but it's like, all right, well, you know, trying to look at the benefits. Now, we talked about tax. What about super? What is an approachable way to shop around for better super in the new year? So this is part of our New Year's resolution.
Well, super is one of those areas where it's very easy to just set and forget. But as you would have talked about with various guests, you really need to engage with your super on a regular basis to understand whether the investment options are appropriate for you, whether the provider you're with is appropriate for you. And there's a few triggers that might, you know, the start of the year is a good time to have a look at this. When you get your annual statement, that might be another trigger. Or if, you know, towards the end of the financial year, especially if you're thinking about making some additional contributions for tax reasons. And obviously, if you get married or separated or divorced or have children, you also will have a think about your super because your beneficiaries might change. So this shop around process can feel quite intimidating. There's a lot of choice out there. It's very easy to jump onto, you know, Morningstar or Canstar and get quite overwhelmed and get into analysis paralysis. So the first step really is just to take stock of what you actually have, to jump online, go to your super provider's website and just note your balance, have a think about the contributions, whether it's from your employer or the contributions you're making yourself, the fees, the investment options, and what the returns have been like over the last 5 years. It's also worthwhile looking at what insurance you have, if you have insurance through super, and who the beneficiaries are. And then it's, you know, we actually have worksheets on our Life Admin Life Hacks website. If you go to resources, we have a comparison table that has criteria in it to help you compare across a few different funds. So you might want to look at your current fund and just a different investment option within that fund to think about the performance and potentially if there's different fees associated with it. But then you might want to look at one or two other funds. And we usually recommend that people look at around three other choices. Beyond that, you start to get diminishing returns. It starts to feel overwhelming. And knowing that you're going to do this ideally on an annual basis means that you're making a choice for the next 12 months. You're not making a choice for the next 5 years or 10 years. This is not a long-term decision. This is beautiful tweaking that you're doing on a regular basis. So that can take away some of the sort of the scariness of the situation if you think, oh, I'm going to be looking at it again in 12 months. So this is not, you know, the be all and end all. Obviously now we have the Your Super website from the official government website that has a range of My Super products. So you can compare the performance across those funds. You can also go to places like Canstar and Morningstar that have a wider range of funds to choose from. And once you enter in your age and your current super balance and you sort the results according to the fund performance or the fees, you know, you think about your goal of whether you or how you want your super to be performing in a better way. And then pick a couple off the top of the list and start working your way through some of those comparison criteria. So looking at the performance, looking at the fees, and then looking at some of the life insurances. I think for me, I was shocked to know that I should be engaging with my super on such a regular basis. I kind of, you know, would look at it if I changed jobs and have a think about it then. But, you know, when you talk to specialists in this area, especially the way the economy has fluctuated over the last few years and the different investment options, the different strategies performing, you know, differently, whether we're in a bull market, a bear market, a recession, normal times. You really need to engage with this on a regular basis.
Yes, totally agree. And I know, I mean, even with me right now, I look at my superannuation balance and it's easier to do that because there's an app. So a decade ago, you can't look at the investment options. You can even swap investment options online. You can top up online. So I recommend if you haven't really looked at your super for a while, it's much easier now to stay on top of it, isn't it?
I agree. The providers that I've used in the past, I'm amazed at what I can do myself online and how clear it is to compare just investment options within. the fund. And then also the way that the Your Super and the Canster and Morningstar sites, they also make it really quite easy to compare apples and apples and be confident about the criteria you're looking at. So I think the government has done a great job in helping people feel empowered and to be sort of active consumers in this space and make good choices.
Absolutely. I must say, though, that before you switch super, you really need to think through the impact on it. And you can ask them, what does this mean for my insurance? Mm-hmm. What are my fees? And so on and so forth. Now, finally, we talked about adulting. You are now on top of your health records. I don't think a lot of people stay on top of their kind of health until they get sick or, you know, knock on wood, something happens. So what are we getting wrong with managing health appointments and records that is costing us?
This was an interesting area to sort of explore when we were doing the podcast episodes and books around this. So you really can save quite a lot of money thinking about the providers that you use when it comes to health and also the way you approach subscriptions. So, for example, with your GP, you know, it's great to find a GP that you have a good rapport with and that you trust. Sometimes that will be someone at a bulk billing clinic where Medicare is going to cover the cost. Sometimes you'll have an out-of-pocket fee for your local clinic. Regardless, it's good to find somewhere that does bulk bill for those simple requests. So while you might have a long-term relationship with a GP as your primary kind of carer, if you just need a quick kind of in-out kind of visit, it's good to find a bulk billing place where the session will be fully reimbursed. Similarly, if you have dentists or other professionals you're using and you have private health insurance, have a look if they have a preferred provider arrangement, because often with those, it means there's no gap. There's no out-of-pocket costs for you if you visit that particular dentist, or it's subsidized in some way, so it's going to cost you less. There's also telehealth, and often, you know, your regular doctor or the specific telehealth providers, those consultations can be a lot cheaper than the face-to-face consultations. So certainly make the most of those. Again, for sort of those simple requests or those less serious issues. So check if your GP offers those, or visit places like GP2U or Doctors on Demand where they have dedicated telehealth services. And also keep in mind that there's a free registered nurse service. So you can go to Nurse on Call in Victoria. You can visit healthdirect.gov.au to find registered nurse services in your area where you can actually just ring up and ask questions over the phone. So they might be able to give you advice or support and save you that trip to the doctor's office. The other thing to keep in mind with prescriptions is that often, well, depending on your doctor and their generosity, they might not give you repeats, or they might not give you the maximum number of repeats that you can get for a prescription. So ask what the maximum number is and try and get it so that you don't have to go to the doctor's clinic as often again, so you can save costs that way.
Ooh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I'm going to ask that for my mom, you know, the regular kind of mm-hmm. meds that she needs. Yes.
Yeah, it's worthwhile, especially if you're going to, you know, need something sporadically over the next year or you are taking it regularly. Ask what the maximum is so that you can, avoid having to come in just to get that script every time. And then obviously when you're going to the pharmacy, asking if there is a generic version of your medicine available, because those generics are often a lot cheaper than name brands. The other thing to keep in mind when it comes to health is some of the referrals you might need for testing. So sometimes the doctor might refer you to radiology or like an X-ray or an MRI or pathology, for example, for a blood test. And it's very much worthwhile shopping around here. So usually the doctor will give you one of those referral forms and it will be branded with the name of a certain pathology service or the certain radiology service. You don't actually have to go to that service. You can take that form anywhere. And there are plenty of places that do all of this bulk build. So you hand your Medicare card over and there's no out-of-pocket costs. So literally for the same service, you can go to somewhere that bulk bills and pay, you know, negligible amount or nothing, or you can go down the road to somewhere else and literally pay $500 for your MRI. So it's very much worth shopping around and finding some alternatives there.
I'm taking notes, definitely. I have done an MRI where I thought that it's bulk billed, but it's not. And I'm like, what?
Yeah.
Now, quickly, we're almost out of time, but I really did want to touch about wills because that's the one thing that people kind of put off.
Nearly every time I talk to somebody about wills, they're like, yeah, I don't have one. It's actually quite alarming how many people don't have wills. And I guess when you get to a certain age, or as soon as you start amassing assets, you know, if you have super, if you have a car, if you, let alone start buying furniture or a house or have children, these are all triggers to get a will because it can avoid a lot of friction in a family if you unfortunately die without one. So if you get a will, you're going to reduce the risk of disputes in your family or your possessions potentially going to people that you hadn't intended them. You are going to minimize the cost of administering your estate. So, you know, you want your beneficiaries to get your estate. You don't want it to be going to lawyers or the government or financial institutions because you don't have your affairs in order. And obviously, it can be empowering to develop a will because you're able to advocate for what you want your end-of-life care to look like if you're looking at some of those other documents as part of this estate planning. And obviously you'll be able to develop powers of attorney documents as well about your financial powers of attorney and your medical powers of attorney, which is equipping someone else to make decisions on your behalf if you're incapacitated. So yeah, this is something that's really important and not as complicated as you think. The whole thing can be sort of done and dusted within a month. Ask friends or family to refer a solicitor to you if you don't know one. If you have a very simple, simple thing in mind in terms of all of everything going to some one person or sort of uncontroversial, then some of those DIY will kits might be suitable for you. But literally, I think when I got my will done, I emailed a solicitor, they emailed back a bunch of questions. We had one phone call and then they sent some draft documents. And that was it. We gave a bit of feedback and went in to sign them and get them witnessed and stuff. So I was actually amazed how smooth it was. I think I spent more time thinking about my funeral arrangements and my statements of wishes and where I wanted like certain recipes and bits of jewellery and paintings to go to any of sort of the hardcore stuff that wills normally cover.
Well, I know this will sound like a dad joke, but I'm encouraging our listeners to have the will to write their will. But it's true. I've done the same. If you look at your superannuation fund, there is a section there where you tell the super fund in case you accidentally, you know, pass away or there's an accident, who gets your super. And that took me all of maybe less than 5 minutes because I have a very, you know, simple family structure. Yeah. And I know at least that it's under my control. And there are horror stories there of superannuation funds going to like the government because you just didn't set it up properly and your family ends up with nothing.
And it's good to know too that the nominees, the beneficiaries that you nominate for your super is different to your will. So even if in your will you say that you want everything to go to, you know, your children, for example, if you don't have nominees for your super, then yeah, that's when things can get tricky because it doesn't automatically go to your children.
Correct. That's right. Now, once again, thank you so much, Mia, for participating in this 3-part series on how to get your life admin in order in 2023.
My pleasure. Anytime, Michelle.
Now, before we go, don't forget that if you enjoy listening to the Friends with Money podcast, we'd love for you to recommend it to your own friends and family, or you can help us out by leaving a review on iTunes or the Apple Podcast app. You can also send in any questions, comments. If you've listened to all 3 episodes on Life Admin, tell us what was the top admin hack that you're now implementing in your own life. I would love to hear from you. Use our dedicated email, which is podcast@moneymag.com.au. And finally, make sure you head over to moneymag.com.au for all our latest financial news and stories. That's it for this episode. Thank you for joining us. I'm Michelle Baltazar. Bye for now.
Thanks for listening to the Friends with Money podcast. For credible, independent, and easy to understand financial commentary, visit moneymag.com.au. Please remember that the views and opinions expressed in this podcast are general in nature, and further independent advice and research based on your personal circumstances should be sought before making an investment decision.